Thomas Bradley, elected this week as the next mayor of Los Angeles, here are the issues. Does your election as mayor of Los Angeles indicate new hope for America's big cities? Did the Watergate scandal help you get elected? Can a black mayor govern a predominantly white city? From Los Angeles, California, the American Broadcasting Company brings you the award-winning interview program, Issues and Answers. In his first nationwide interview program since his election this week, Thomas Bradley, soon to become the first black mayor of Los Angeles, the nation's third largest city. Mayor-elect Bradley will be interviewed by KABC-TV political editor Dick Carlson and ABC News correspondent Ann Kestner.
Welcome to Issues and Answers, Mr. Bradley. How would you assess the significance of your victory both nationally and here in Los Angeles?
I think the major problems of this country lie in the cities. I think we need to get the best leadership we can to run those cities. And I believe that the significance of the election here is that the people were able to cut through all of the rhetoric of the campaign and to choose the man they thought best on the issues, on programs and qualifications. And I think that if that's done over and over again in our cities, we're going to be a lot better off.
In one of your first news conferences following your election, you spoke of the effect it might have on young people.
I've been able to see that effect during the course of the campaign, and I think that it will carry over for the next few years. Many people of all colors and races and backgrounds, young people in particular, have been turned off by the political system. They don't believe there's any hope for them, that it's not relevant to their needs. And I think that if they can see that in Los Angeles, where we were able to do what I think was a rather significant thing, to elect a man who happened to be black as the mayor of the city, a man who came up under some rather serious and substantial obstacles, and yet was able to survive in this system and reach all the way to the mayor's office, there's possibility for a good life for them. There's hope for fulfillment of their dreams. And I believe that it will have a tremendous effect upon young people all over the country.
Mr. Bradley, how much of a part, really, do you think race did play in the campaign?
I think that it was a minor factor in this campaign. It was on the minds of some people. Some said they simply couldn't vote for a black man. But I believe that it was rather insignificant in its in the total effect upon it, the outcome.
You characterized at least the last few weeks of Sam Yorty's campaign efforts as being racist in nature, and I think a lot of people agreed with that. Do you think it backfired on him in effect, or just had no effect at all?
Well, the irony of it is that what he was attempting to do, he got exactly the opposite effect, I believe. That kind of thing worked in 1969 because I was not known citywide. This time, being much better known, I think it simply didn't work. And people were outraged. They were insulted by that kind of appeal to them. And I believe that, in fact, Sam lost some support because of it.
But still, if Tom Bradley were white, would he not have won by a more commanding margin?
Well, I think that's true. And that's because there simply were some people who, no matter what happened, they still were not quite ready to vote for a black man. I believe that having won this time and having a chance to prove what I can do in this city, it will make it a lot easier, not only in Los Angeles, but across the nation, for other people to vote without regard to the question of color or religion or any other irrelevant factor.
Obviously, your election is going to symbolize a lot of things. Do you think within your lifetime you might see a reasonable black candidate who has a chance to win the presidency, for instance?
Oh, yes, I think that's possible. You know, I would not have guessed in my youth that I would ever run for any public office. There just didn't seem to be any possibility of that. And I would say 5 years ago, I probably would have said the same thing if somebody said, you one day be mayor of Los Angeles. But I think things have changed. We've moved so fast in this country, relatively speaking, that I believe that that situation that you have mentioned is a possibility in my lifetime.
Mr. Bradley, what effect do you believe the Watergate scandal had on your election?
I think it did have an effect. People, I believe, have been watching Watergate for some time, and the whole question of morality in politics is very much under question. There were some people who were turned off, who simply decided that because what they saw in Watergate, they want no part of politics at all, and I think some of them did not vote. Others saw a connection, a relationship between the Watergate situation and Sam Yorty when it was disclosed that there was a $50,000 insurance policy paid for him out of campaign funds or some other funds. I think these kinds of things were on the minds of some people. I believe it did have an effect.
Do you think that it will have a continuing effect, say, in other cities across the country as time goes on?
I think that any incumbent in office today is going to run under the specter of Watergate. The whole question, the matter of the morality in politics is very much on the minds of people, and I think that it's going to have a very significant effect upon elections all over the country. I would hope that this will be an opportunity for the church, for the synagogue, for the religious ethic in this country to again come to the fore and to have a real strong bearing in how people choose their leadership.
When you are sworn in July 1st, you will become the leader of one of the major cities in the United States. You will thus assume a new role. From that role, how do you now view President Nixon and the whole Watergate matter?
I think that it gives the cities and the Congress a little more leverage in their fight to achieve some changes. The empowerment of federal funds that were designed to serve the social needs of the cities, the president's new budget proposals, I think now are certainly in a much weaker position than they were 4 or 5 months ago. So I think that we are going to be able to achieve some victories that we had not expected all in March of this year.
Mr. Bradley, on the subject of campaign funds, you mentioned Sam Yorty admitting that he had accepted some $50,000 that came from political dinners and had been put to a private use. And of course, we're all aware about the money from the committee to re-elect the president and some private uses to which it went. Do you see the American public reaching some kind of a level of disgust with politicians and campaign contributions that will perhaps give us some new laws or laws with teeth that will stop those kind of abuses?
I'm not altogether sure at this point that they are yet ready to support public financing of campaigns. I certainly would like to see it happen. The public would be better served in the long run if that were true. I believe that we're closer to it now than we were 6 months ago.
Wouldn't you like to see full public disclosure, for instance, on the part of even candidates on a local level, such as yourself and Sam Yorty?
Well, theoretically, we were supposed to have public disclosure in connection with the presidential election last year, but you well know that didn't work. All of it was not disclosed until rather recently. I believe that campaign disclosures, financial disclosure of all elected officials is something that ought to happen in this country at every level. I believe that also there is a need to put a limit on campaign expenditures, and I would hope finally we could come to the point where elections would not cost so much, and whether that's supported by the public or simply by a limitation, I would strongly support it.
Earlier this week, you spoke of Los Angeles as the one city for which there remains hope in the United States, and you saw your election as perhaps helping that. What did you mean specifically?
Well, I believe that most of the major cities in this country, by virtue of age alone, the accumulation of problems, are in desperate trouble. And I think that some have even been considered ungovernable. Los Angeles is unique because I don't think that we are yet in that position, and maybe we're lucky because of our age or our youth, relatively speaking. And so if we can save ourselves from that kind of disaster, I think that we can demonstrate to the rest of the country that there is some hope for major cities, and that's the bright prospect that I see for our city. And it will take aggressive leadership, real initiative by the mayor, and that was one of the distinctions that I made between our former mayor and myself.
Mr. Mayor-elect, if I may call you that, the other day you said you may even call me a conservative, which is hardly a description that would be applied by your opponent, Sam Yorty. Will you explain what that meant?
Well, in many ways, people have looked upon me as a conservative, a fiscal conservative. As far as the expenditure of tax dollars, expenditures of my own money, I've been considered a conservative. In terms of how you approach the solution of problems, I'm a very cautious and careful person in trying to reach decisions about what must be done. And I think that in that way, I could be called conservative in my outlook in terms of humanistic matters. Certainly, I'm a liberal in that regard.
We'll be back with more on Issues and Answers after this word.
Did you say God? Well, I know him by everything you say and do. Did you say God? Well, I've seen him every time I look at you. He's touched you.
Mr. Bradley, during the campaign, one of the charges heard many times was that Sam Yorty spent a total of 1 year out of his four-year term out of the city. One television program several years ago began its newscast, as I recall, with the line, "Mayor Yorty was in Los Angeles today." Do you plan to follow that kind of action, or are you going to spend more time in the city?
I expect to spend a substantial amount of my time in the city of Los Angeles dealing with our problems. It is necessary for the mayor to travel occasionally. I would prefer to use my traveling to Washington to get help there, or to Sacramento, our state capital, to get help there. The travels abroad to Saigon or to Vietnam or wherever it might be, Bombay, sister city, or Bordeaux, or wherever, I think is really not in the interest of the people of our city, and that's the distinction that I make between the kinds of travel that I will be taking.
You know, during the campaign, Mr. Bradley, you often characterized the office of mayor as one that has some strength in it, and Sam Yorty said something that was completely the reverse, that it was impotent, they lacked power, really couldn't do anything at all. What is it that you're going to do differently in Los Angeles that Sam Yorty said he couldn't do at all?
I have contended for a long time that there is enormous power in the office of mayor, power that is given under our law, our charter. But I think the major power of any office of mayor is the prestige of the office itself. The ability to use that leverage to reach the public every day, to prompt them, persuade them, to inspire them to do the kinds of things that are needed to bring about change, to get involved, to offer initiative, whether it's a matter of smog or transportation or fighting crime. I think the mayor has to be the leader.
Now, you've talked about rapid transit, and in fact, I think promised that you would institute a rapid transit system here in Los Angeles within a year, if that's correct. Are you planning on doing any traveling yourself in an effort to bring some money to Southern California to make that a reality?
That will be necessary. I'll tell you how confident I am. I've already bought my shovel.
Oh, you have. How about any other trips back to Washington or Sacramento? Are you going to try and play that kind of a role as mayor?
Yes, that is absolutely necessary, and I will do that in the course of my service as mayor. In addition, I serve as the first vice president of the National League of Cities, the 15,000 cities in this country, and this year I'll become the president. So I would expect there will be a great deal more that I will be doing on behalf of all of the cities of the country.
Nationally, people in other sections of the country think of Los Angeles as perhaps the only city with smog, or the first city with smog, but it's spread to other areas all over the country. What kind of programs do you plan here in this city that perhaps could be copied elsewhere to alleviate the problem of smog?
One of the things that I think we must do in our community is to develop a rapid transit system so that we can thereby help to get some of the automobiles off of our freeways and our streets. People now are tied to their autos because they have no other way to get around. Our bus system is inadequate to serve the needs of people who must move long distances to work or to pleasure. And I think that has to be the major step. I think that there are some other things that can be done short of the removal of automobiles from the freeways. And that involves the use of devices to get people to carpool, to use fewer automobiles, using natural gas instead of the gasoline that we're now using. These are some of the steps that I think we in this city can take to help relieve the air pollution problem. I would hope that if we succeed in these things, that it will be a leadership step for other cities.
Yeah, Mr. Bradley, this election has clearly catapulted you, who was at one time, not long ago, a fairly obscure city councilman, into a position of prominence and power, I would imagine, that parallels that of Senator Brooke, for instance, in Massachusetts. I wonder how you plan to exercise any of that power politically, and I mean outside the city of Los Angeles.
Well, very candidly, I recognize that I will have more influence as a mayor than I had as city councilman. I've always been a political activist. I expect to continue that. It does not mean that I'm going to abdicate my responsibility to our city to get involved in partisan politics. But I think in the natural course of my service, I'll be very heavily involved in Democratic politics in the next few years.
I take it that applies to the governor's race, and that ought to be an interesting race in the primary for that in California next year, and senatorial races as well, is that correct?
Yes, and I believe getting the best leaders we can and supporting candidates in one's party is an appropriate role for a mayor to play, and I expect to do that.
A lot of times you hear that the job, as time goes on, changes the man. Looking ahead from today, Do you have any fears that you may change significantly, that you will not be, say, in a year or two as mayor, the same person you are today, that your values may change?
I have no doubt about whether or not I'm going to change. I don't think that I will. There are some people who say that in 1973, for example, in the campaign, we had a brand new Tom Bradley, different than 1969. Well, I suppose that that was true in terms of the outward appearance, because I was more aggressive in this campaign. I did some things differently. But in terms of the makeup of the man, you know, my qualities or characteristics, they have not changed over the years, and I don't think they will.
Was there a time during the campaign when you finally felt that you were really clicking, that you were going to win, and that Sam Yorty was going to lose?
I felt confident from the day the campaign began. But in the last 2 weeks, perhaps the last week, I think more than ever, I felt that sense of confidence because of what we had been able to do on our own campaign. But also in the last week of the campaign, I think that there was just an, almost an avalanche of things that began to happen. That for the first time in all of the years I've seen Sam Yorty in politics, he was on the defensive and not handling it very well.
Is Tom Bradley, son of Texas sharecroppers and former police officer, ever sit and look back on how far he's come in the last 50 or so years?
I do indeed. And I think that's one of the great joys and thrills of this experience. And I'd like to try to translate it for others, and especially young people, because I know very often they can be discouraged and feel that there is no hope for them. Well, if you come as far as I have, from the depths of poverty as I have, if you've overcome obstacles, and if you had to fight against many oppressive kinds of experiences, and then to finally become the mayor of the city of Los Angeles, I tell you, that's really a kind of experience that must convince you that the system can work if you're just willing to work hard enough and prepare well enough and to be sure you're ready when that opening comes. And I would like to encourage young people to believe that if they get ready, that things can happen for them. And they'll happen far faster than they did in my lifetime, because already we're seeing progress almost in geometric proportions to what it was in the course of my 50 more years.
Would you expect, Mr. Bradley, that you may end up assuming some mantle of a civil rights leadership nature, if I can describe it that way? There seems to have been perhaps an absence of leadership in that general category.
I think we're seeing a new thrust in the direction of achieving certain goals that we once pursued primarily through the civil rights movement. I think we reached a plateau, and after the death of Dr. Martin Luther King, I think we had to look for a new direction, a new thrust. And I had been convinced for the past several years that politics was that new mechanism. And if we use it well, I think we will accomplish even more than we did in the civil rights movement. And
I take it, you consider yourself a really positive force because you've worked, as you've said in the past, inside that system totally.
I do, and I think that there's a great deal to encourage others to work within that system.
Yes. We'll be back with more on Issues and Answers in one moment.
So when I asked you for a few minutes of your time to discuss life insurance, I knew it was 2 a.m., but I also knew how much I need life insurance and how important it is right now for my wife and my two sons. Where do I sign?
Oh, right here at the bottom. I'll get this in the works first thing in the morning.
The day is never done for a Sun Life man. We're trying to get to you as soon as we can, but you may have to be patient. At Sun Life of Canada, sometimes there just aren't enough of us to go around.
As the new leader of the United States' third largest city, what do you think of the leadership of the country being given now by President Nixon?
Well, I think it has been badly damaged by the Watergate disclosures. And I think that the country is going to have a tough time getting back on track for the interest, for the benefit of all of us. I hope that we can.
The president seems to have some questionable right to refuse to appear before the Senate committee, for instance, and that's being debated by lawyers right now. There was a story recently that suggesting that he perhaps ought to from a federal prosecutor. Well, how do you personally feel about that, Mr.
I believe that most people in this country almost don't want that to happen. I think that You know, the office itself is really under attack in so many ways, and I just don't think people want their faith eroded by even having their president have to appear or being invited or offered to appear. And I don't think he will, and I think that I would not like to see that happen.
Harkening back perhaps to what Watergate is all about, that is the corrupt practices of political systems, at least at times and in places, are you truly shocked in the political sophisticates who, like yourself, are politicians for a living, shocked that people would do the things that those apparently involved in Watergate did? In terms of political espionage, and I can think of some local examples that don't apply to you, but that perhaps is shocking, except they're on a minuscule level.
Yes. I think the level of that kind of activity was probably surprising, even to those of us who've been in the political system as professionals. I know that it happens, and I think that this kind of disclosure may be sort of a tempering thing for the whole country, and certainly for a lot of politicians. I think there's going to be a great deal more care in the future, and I think that we're all better off for it.
A lot of people say that the United States today is in an economic mess, and the old line that when America sneezes, Europe catches a cold is really true, that the world is in bad shape economically. What would you like to see changed in that area? What do you think is wrong with the programs now in effect?
Well, I'm very much concerned about the increase in prices. You know, the price of meat and the prices of other commodities have skyrocketed. That's been rather frightening. But there's a new kind of increase that I think is of serious concern to me, and that's the gasoline prices. On the basis of an action which I introduced in our city council, we are asking the president to roll back the price of gasoline to the point where it was prior to the so-called scare shortage. We cannot see any justification for gasoline rising from 35 cents a gallon in our city to 70 cents a gallon. And you just project that nationwide, and I think that's a rather serious kind of thing to happen. It's only one example of what is eroding the individual's dollar today, and I think it's rather frightening.
From a standpoint of a man who's about to step to the helm of, as Ann described, one of America's largest cities, and one that's sprawling, unplanned, and obviously has lots of problems, but one that you've described as being salvageable and governable, what kind of hope do you think there is for American cities in general?
I think that we have reason to have hope about our cities. It's going to take a great deal of talent and leadership in order to make these changes. I think it's going to take some commitment and a recognition on the part of the people that they have problems, serious ones, and that they will have to make some sacrifices in order to solve these problems. They are monetary, they are a matter of quality leadership, they are a whole question of how people live together in harmony. I think these are some of the fundamental things that affect the people and face all of us in our cities today.
What kind of influence can a mayor in a city like Los Angeles, doesn't have a really strong mayoralty position, what can he really do to influence those positive things?
Well, if you just take a look at what has happened in our city, you know very well that the mayor can get the media to his office any day that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Using that influence, that prestige, that ability to reach the people every day is the way in which you use the leverage. And I think an activist mayor can have enormous power and influence in a city. Doesn't require a consensus by a council. Doesn't require that he have some legal authority. It just requires that he be willing to use that power to get to the people. The people really make the difference. And their pressure, whether it is Watergate, whether it is the election to office of certain figures, or causing people to now have a new kind of response on the environmental question. You know, 4 years ago, you couldn't have had many politicians in this country even spell the word ecology. Now they all know about it because the public has been aroused.
Looking ahead now to your own future, beyond being mayor of Los Angeles, do you see yourself now as fitting a national role and perhaps in a coming election, being on the ballot, say, for Vice President of the United States?
I look upon my responsibility as being to the people of Los Angeles. I love the city so much that I want to do everything I can to help improve it. And I have not made any plans, nor do I foresee running for any other office.
If it were offered?
You know, I'm not going to get into these kinds of iffy things. My commitment for 4 years is right here in this city, and I don't even project anything beyond that. You know, it's flattering to have people suggest that, but beyond the flattery, you know, my concern is right here, and that's where I plan to be.
When Sam Yorty won his second term, he said he wouldn't run for a third and didn't believe in it, but of course he did, and then said he wouldn't run for a fourth, but of course he did, and he lost. How many terms do you expect to stay in? And kind of going back to Ann's question, what are you going to do after?
Well, I have introduced a motion to limit the terms of mayor to 2, 8 years. I think that's enough. And I don't plan to spend any more time than that.
Is there something inherently wrong, however, with the politician staying in office for more than 8 years?
I think that when you stay longer, you are more inclined to lose the verve and the vitality that you might have had earlier, or to sort of remove yourself from the people and to establish some kind of pattern of arrogance.
Thank you very much, Mayor-elect Thomas Bradley of the City of Los Angeles, for being with us on Issues and Answers. Thank you for watching.
Our guest has been Mayor-elect Thomas Bradley of Los Angeles. Next week at the same time, our guest will be Senator Howard Baker, Republican of Tennessee, Vice Chairman of the Watergate Investigating Committee. We hope you'll join us. This has been a presentation of ABC News.